at 384-1450.
Welcome inside the press box here on 1450, the Sports Bus, presented by livingforless.org, where you can save up to 75% off at local retailers and restaurants. I'm Nick Coffey, the creator and publisher of thecardinalconnect.com. Joining me in studio for the first time in what seems like forever is my good friend, Never Nervous Burris. Been a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, I'm a little bit rusty. It feels good to be back in
here. Yeah, you're a little rusty. I imagine you're rusty. I think the last time we did a show together was right after the Final Four game, or the Elite Eight game against Florida. I believe it, and that's been months.
I've been having withdrawals, I'm not going
to
lie.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's good to have you back. We got a lot to run down, and you can get involved on today's show, 502-384-1450. That's the Oxmoor Ford Lincoln Buzz Line. Oxmoor Ford Service has some killer service deals going on right now. Hurry in for a Fuel Savers Works Oil Change Package for as low as $29.99, a Motorcraft Complete Brake Service for as low as $89.95, and up to $80 in rebates on a set of four tires. Now through the end of August, which is running out pretty much right now, so make sure you get over there and check that out. Once again, that is Oxmoor Ford Lincoln, and also that phone number is 502-384-1450. Just a few days away from the big game, the annual battle for the Governor's Cup, as Louisville and Kentucky are set to battle in what's probably going to be a sloppy game. I think I've seen 75% chance of rain, and it's not just a pop up shower here and there. It's downpour. I mean, I've seen anywhere from 2 to 4 inches of rain expected.
That's what I've seen on the way here. Somebody came on air and said they're expecting 2 to 4 inches. So I put on Twitter, I'm bringing my swimming trunks.
Yeah, and I would rather be, I was, and it's hot outside today. God, it's hot. It's miserable. I thought the heat has, we had a nice little mid to early July to where, or I'm sorry, the mid to early August where it wasn't humid. It was kind of comfortable outside. It's just miserable today. But I was thinking, I'd rather be a little bit wet and get rained on than it be as hot as it's been, because it's just miserable. I don't know if you remember last year, the Murray State game was, the game started at 6:30, which is just bizarre because it was that first game of college football on ESPNU. And I think the heat index was like 109. It was miserable.
I think I'd rather have the heat and stay dry.
Really?
I swear.
Yeah, I'm kind of in between, but just you know how I get. I'm cranky when I get hot. Which I'm in a cranky mood today. I wanted to come on the show and get things going, and just a couple more shows away from when these two teams actually play. And that's been, other than the Des Wells situation, which we'll get to. A lot of things have changed since I was on air talking about that yesterday. But other than the Des Wells situation, and of course Rick Pitino or Jeff Goodman just put out a piece on CBS Sports about Rick Pitino and his team. I haven't even got a chance to read that really yet, so hopefully during the break I can run down that and give you guys an update on it if you have not read it. But the game has been the biggest, it's been the biggest topic over the last 2 or 3 weeks, because you're just kind of waiting around. You're sitting around. That's why I like when it's the first game of the season. I think this year Louisville would have benefited, from an advantage standpoint, had it been played the third game of the season. But overall, the rivalry is much better. You can talk smack to UK fans or UofL fans for weeks and weeks at a time. You don't have to wait up until that game week till it gets to where it really gets heated up. But Shane, are you familiar with what Louisville Hate Day is?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, Hate Day is it's been going on for probably 4 or 5 years now, one thing that I really wanted to clarify to Louisville fans is that just calm down and take a deep breath, because it really, really makes Louisville fans upset. And I can understand why, but, feel flattered that fan base took an entire day and dedicated it to their obsession with Louisville. And that's flattering to me. And Kentucky fan, I'm not going to sugarcoat it at all. I don't like Kentucky. I'm not a fan of Kentucky. I root against Kentucky. I'm not one of those guys, and I hate, there's nothing worse than a fan that acts as if they're not obsessed and they're not, I'm not obsessed with Kentucky losing, but I love to see it. And there's a lot of argument, and I do think it goes both ways. It goes both ways where both fans are kind of obsessed with how the other one does. Like, I watch Kentucky play, and I watch them and hope they lose, and I think Kentucky fans do the same thing with Louisville. But this Kentucky or this Louisville Hate Day does nothing but proves that the obsession is obviously much more on Kentucky's side than Louisville's side. You agree?
Yeah, we don't have any blog sites having a Kentucky Hate Day.
There's been
sure.
a lot of people asking, will you do a Kentucky Hate Day, or will there be anything, you know, like that? And no, there won't. I might put something up tomorrow on the website, it's not going to be anything like what you saw today at KentuckySportsRadio.com. It's not going to be I'm not going to dedicate a whole day, frankly, because I don't have the time to do it. But I tell you, there's going to be, you know, just kind of a rundown of what the rivalry means to me, and you know, maybe poking some fun at UK here and there, just because that's always fun to do. But this is the fourth time I've been around to really see this Louisville Hate Day. So I kind of knew what to expect, and honestly, you know, they're funny. The guys who write for Kentucky Sports Radio are funny guys. Sometimes they write stuff that makes me mad because I'm a Louisville fan, I'm a Louisville guy, but they're funny. They are. But I expected a little bit better material today so far. I really did. It was kind of the same pictures here and there. The Facebook post has already been done. Some things were switched, and it was you know, the switches that were made to it were, you know, they were good. But it's just, you know, they need to keep it a little bit more fresh if they're going to keep, you know, using the same pictures. I mean, Gary the Redbird has been on that site more than John Wall, I think. You know who Gary the Redbird is?
Yes, I've seen him on there today.
He's everywhere. He's the most dedicated Louisville fan, and I tell you what, he takes a lot of heat from those guys over at KSR because he's on there every day, or every day it seems like. But I've been calm today for Hate Day. I have not gotten upset, haven't gotten mad. You know, I was kind of, you know, I knew that it was coming, so I just, you know, I did look at it, but I didn't get bent out of shape, and I didn't send any nasty tweets like a lot of Louisville fans did, which I recommend you don't do, because that just shows that they're getting to you. But I did get into Shane, you could probably tell when I got here, I wasn't in the best of moods, right?
Yeah, I can tell something about
it, man. But it wasn't Kentucky Hate Day, or it wasn't Louisville Hate Day that did it to me. For the first time in a long time, I actually got over here a little bit earlier. I had a little bit of time. I'm usually pushing, rushing across that bridge to get here, but I stopped at the gas station over by right next to the station. I'm not going to give you the exact address because I don't want people knowing where we are. Of course, they could probably Google it, but nonetheless, I'm getting. Oh, there's a Kia. I think it's a Kia Spectra, a white Kia Spectra in front of me. And then it gets over to the right lane, so then we're driving next to each other. And I've got to get over to pull in this gas station by the stations, or by the radio station here at the studio, because I'm going to go in and get a beverage before the show. And I'm trying to get over, and I wasn't one of those guys that waited to the last minute. I was trying for, you know, at least 30 seconds, probably 100 yards, trying to get over. This lady wouldn't let me over. So I finally get up even with her to kind of let her know, hey, I got to get over. I'm going to either merge into your car or let me over. She's got her eyes up in the air, and she's putting on eyeliner while she's driving. So just, I'm thinking, dumb UK fan. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. And I'm upset. I'm thinking, maybe I'm going to be late now. So she pulls into the gas station as well. And she could tell I was kind of riding her ass a little bit down the road. And I got out of the car, and I gave her that look. You know, just the look at like, hey, you pissed me off, that kind of look. And I guess she felt me looking at her and felt the vibe that I was giving her. And we walked into the gas station together. We get in line, and she's standing right behind me, and I'm kind of going slow. And then there's somebody that comes up and asks me a question about if that was my car parked out there. And I told him, yeah, you know, don't, you know, I'll be out. I was in a hurry, so I didn't park in a spot. I just pulled up right next to the curb. And she said something about, well, you probably shouldn't park your car right there if you're going to plan on coming in the store, you're not going to wait inside your car. So I just didn't even say anything. Just ignored her. I pay for my drink, walk outside the door. She, I don't know if she bought anything or not, but she walks in, follows me out, and she says, hey, you're that Loserville guy. I say nothing at all. Just, you know, kind of flattered, right, that she knew who I was, and obviously she thinks I'm the Loserville guy, but she knew who I was. So, you know, I stopped there, and I said, yeah, you know, after I said nothing while she just kind of stood there, so I said, yeah, I am. How are you? Most awkward thing. Why would we obviously have some beef going on already. There's some tension, and I ask her how she's doing, and she just says, "You just need to leave." So that's why I'm upset, and I'm kind of in a cranky mood. But it's not because of the Louisville Hate Day. It hasn't got to me that bad. But just Kentucky fans, they're awful people.
That would happen on any day, not just
yeah.
Louisville
but it was. I felt like it was some kind of coincidence, you know. Because it is Louisville Hate Day, and I tried my best all day to just kind of keep calm and wait till the game on Sunday, and wait till, you know, you can just kind of tell Kentucky fans, hey, you never really had a chance. I don't know why you've convinced yourselves that you do, but I'm trying to get in a better mood. We got plenty of other things to talk about. I want to talk about the rain and how it could affect Louisville and how it could affect Kentucky. Also, I want to talk about run down some records in this series. There's some interesting records and since the modern era, which is 1994 and on, since these two teams have been playing each other, there is a couple, you know, the when I say records, I don't mean like the, you know, the series record. I mean like records for most touchdowns in a game, most rushing yards and whatnot. But some interesting, some guys who never really had great careers at either school, they had some of their best games during this series. So we'll get to that. A lot of other things as well. We're still taking your predictions. You can get involved on today's show, 502-384-1450. That's the Oxmoor Ford Lincoln Buzz Line. We'll be back.
This is Inside the Press Box.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, or as our brothers to the south call you, Jesus, we thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell.
Welcome back inside the press box here on 1450, the Sports Buzz, presented by livingforless.org, 502-384-1450. That's the Oxmoor Ford Lincoln Buzz line. Nick Coffey here hanging out with you until 6 o'clock. The Loserville guy hanging out and talking about the Governor's Cup game coming up. And the whole is it called Hurricane Isaac or is it just Tropic Storm Isaac? Do you know, meteorologist Burris?
I don't know. I just know Isaac is coming.
Isaac's going to ruin everybody's day.
Hurricane status.
Hurricane status. So the thought of if it raining all day, which that's what it looks like it's going to do, and it's not just you know, pop up shower in the afternoon. It's going to rain all day. 70% chance. It's been anywhere between 70 and 80. So it's almost, there's one people out there you don't trust. There's a couple people out there you don't trust. I don't trust anybody with two last names or two first names, as you know, first name, last name. And I don't trust meteorologists because they're wrong all the time. And they could tell you it's going to snow one day and it could be 70 degrees and they never have to take any heat for it. They're like referees. It doesn't matter if they're wrong at all. They don't, they're just go on with their job. If you were wrong every day at your job, would you probably get fired, Shane?
Yeah, I would be.
Meteorologists
unemployed.
Don't. But everybody is predicting that they're going to get the, I guess, the backlash of that tropical storm, hurricane, Isaac, whatever you want to call it. And that's going to, does it change things? Yeah. I mean, it changes quite a bit. It changes. And rain has been known as, you know, like a lot of people refer to it as the equalizer in football. It could take away a lot of strengths of certain teams, and everybody kind of is on an evil. Not I wouldn't say everybody's on an even playing field, but there are people on an even playing field whenever you play in the rain. And but still, I think if it's raining, the ground game is going to be huge, right? And I think Louisville still has the advantage in the ground game, and I think they still have quite a bit of an advantage up front on both sides. I mean, Kentucky's strongest position is probably their defensive line, but Louisville still has a better defensive line than they do. I mean, they've got a couple guys, Kentucky does, that are pretty good, but Louisville's got about six or seven guys that have quite a bit more experience, and they're pretty good too.
The only thing that's the only thing I don't like is that the rain coming is going to actually be able to expose UK's best feature as at their defensive line. I don't know. I'm not saying they're good. That's their best feature.
Yeah, that's because that's one position that really wouldn't be affected that much by rain. And it's kind of funny that if this game is played in a downpour, which that's what is being predicted right now, special teams is probably going to be the most important, you know, of all the three. I mean,
and Charlie Strong is telling us how big of a question mark it is for our team. That's why I don't like this whole rain thing.
Yeah, but I
at
think
all.
Turnover. Don't turn the. Which honestly, Teddy Bridgewater, some of his finest games, he's good for me. And keep in mind, we all expect him to be improved since last season. Teddy's good for about an interception a game. Even when he plays great, he's had interceptions. I mean, it happens sometimes. A couple of them would have, you know, bounced off a receiver's hands, but he has, you know, statistics show that. But I think if it rains, turnovers are crucial in every game. But turnovers in a game that's played in the rain, it's even more of a factor. And I think as long as they don't put the ball on the ground when it comes to, you know, because regardless if it's sunny, if it's raining, they're going to run the ball. And regardless of the weather, they can't fumble because honestly, there was, I don't know if you remember last year in the game, Shane, Jeremy Wright broke what was, I think, the biggest run of the game and towards the middle of the second half. And he fumbled, and they ended up saying his knee was down, but it was really close, and that would have been a game changer. So I think rain will play a factor, but like I predict Louisville will win this game, and I think if it rains, I think if it doesn't rain, I think they can win by 14 points. I think they can, but if it does rain, it's where it gets different. I still think they win, but it could be a lot. It could be much closer.
Yeah, that's. I don't think if it rains, I think it'll be a very sloppy. Somewhat low-scoring game, and you know, we talk about, I seen your article talking about Jeremy Wright possibly being a starter, and that has, I mean, that's through a red flag to me because he's had problems handling the ball.
Yeah, that was his biggest weakness last year without a doubt, is he did not hold on to the ball very well. And I tell you what, you know, the one thing that I look at is I can't remember the last time Louisville played a game in the rain. And we talk about how these guys are sophomores now, although they're still young. They've got a season of experience under the belt. They've never played in the rain at this level. And that's kind of, but I don't know if Kentucky has either. But then again, you know, that's going to change things. And with Sean Watson coming in and wanting to really get this West Coast offense going, that you can't really run the West Coast offense in the rain. I mean, you can, but it's not going to run flawlessly. And they would be the first shot at a new offensive style in the rain, which they probably have not practiced the West Coast offense in the rain. Was when it rains, they've got an indoor facility they can use. So I do, and I'm the one. Everybody's been coming up to me all week. Hey, man, Nick, what do you think about this rain? I mean, I'm kind of worried. I think it could really change things. And I've been, don't worry about it. It's Kentucky. Come on now, let's be serious. And then now I'm starting to think, well, it could really stop. I'm not worried about Kentucky scoring offense whether it's raining or not. But is Louisville going to be able to put the ball in the end zone if it's raining? I do think they've got, you know, Jeremy Wright's a guy that can break away for some big plays on the ground, as well as, I mean, Dominique Brown. I don't think he's a guy that's just going to break that hole and take it to the house. But you've got Jeremy Wright, and then Sonoris Perry's got big playability as well. But you don't know, and that's another thing why when it's the first game of the season, there's a lot of unknowns. But I think there's more unknown about Kentucky, but it doesn't really scare me. And I've been, we've talked about this game for 2 weeks now, and I did the TV show with Chip Cosby earlier this week, and I still can't find a position where you say, other than the kicking game, and I mean even return game, I don't think it's, but just the kicking game, strictly kicking, other than that, there's not a position where you can say Kentucky has somewhat of an advantage. Even at their stronger positions, like the defensive line, Louisville is still has, you know, they have the edge, but then again, you have to look at it how they match up with Louisville's offensive line. And that's what we don't know. But that's one thing we're going to find out right away, is this offensive line as improved as we hope?
I don't know. I hate the whole factor. I'd love for it to be 80 hot and just let the field be in good condition and let our athleticism and everything just shine over them.
The football gods, that was a prayer there by my man Never Nervous Burst. And by the way, before we leave, I'm gonna get your prediction, but I want to get your nervous level. I want to get Never Nervous Burst's nervous level on the game, because you don't seem too nervous, but then again, you are very, very, you're kind of like me, and you fear for the worst. But we'll get to that later. But real quick, I want to readdress the Louisville heyday, which we actually, as soon as the show started and I started mentioning Louisville heyday, we had a caller. And he was upset that I was talking about Louisville heyday, and he was telling me that, you know, had it been on the had the shoe been on the other foot and it'd be a Kentucky heyday, we'd have been all over it and it'd have been the same thing and hypocritical. And I would have loved to have this guy on the air to talk about it and, you know, see what he has to say, but he couldn't stop cussing. Just goes to show you the obsession once again,
and the class of the UK fan base.
Yeah, and I do think sometimes it's all good and fun with the U of L hate day, but it is bizarre to me that it happens during football season. You know, some of it, you know, it goes a little too far about how they make some jokes and things like that. But I don't understand why they do it only during football season. I would do hate day during a season where I'm confident my team's going to win. They can't be really confident that the Kentucky's going to win this game on Sunday. Basketball season, you know, I wouldn't say they're the favorite every year. They have been recently, but they're probably much more confident in beating Louisville in basketball than they are football.
I think this gives them something to look forward to during the football
season.
This is their
bowl game. This is their biggest day in football season, really. I mean, we can go ahead and say football season has started since it's week one, you know, but this is their biggest day of the season because they have nothing else to look forward to. Nothing at all. And I've never, once Louisville hate day started, I never wanted more to just get the game over with, because I really, really just don't, I have trouble seeing, and I said it earlier this week, I'm never going to say that there's not a chance Kentucky can win, because it could happen. And as Chip Cosby's told us before, and you look at the records and the years that the, I mean, underdogs do well in the series. I mean, Louisville won last year and they were the underdog. It wasn't close to the 13.5 point spread we've got this year, but Louisville underdogs have always done well. And I can't see Kentucky scoring enough points to beat Louisville. That's the thing. I think their defense might come out and Louisville's offense might struggle if the weather is not on their side and they're going to have trouble getting into the end zone. But Louisville's defense has been really good the last 2 years, and it's going to be even better.
Well, the Vegas guys are putting me at ease. The fact that they are giving
I think it's bizarre.
I mean, during basketball season, during any season, you watch these spreads. It's almost scary how like close that these guys can be. Like this might be a 12-point game a Sunday. You know, they're right there, always up on the verge of what they're guessing.
And that is the one thing that I really am surprised, because I'm having a tough time. Like if you gave me $5,000 to bet, I don't know what I would bet. I wouldn't bet Kentucky wins. But that's a lot of points to cover in a rivalry game, and I look at the depth chart and think that Louisville's got a team that's 14 points better. That's a lot of points, and that's what surprised me that the line hasn't shifted all that much. But prediction wise, I haven't seen anyone other than a couple of people. And when I say that, I mean non UK fans, and I guess the objective media, which I mean I'm not objective. I'm never gonna pick Louisville to lose to Kentucky in anything. I'm never gonna predict that's gonna happen. But Ron Zook, you know who Ron Zook is, Shane? Former Florida and Illinois coach who went bold on his prediction that his upset pick in week one was Kentucky beating Louisville, which excuse me. But the only things that's more laughable than that prediction is his coaching career, because he's a bum. But he is the only guy that I've seen out there that really just called a shot, because the whole Phil Steele thing is still a mystery. We still don't know. Phil Steele doesn't know how that got there. You know, I did see something on paper that said that there was something that Phil Steele was tied to that predicted Kentucky to win. But overall, you know, he came out and said, I've got Louisville by a touchdown, so I don't know where that came from. But prediction-wise, we got more stuff to get to later in the show. What's your prediction right now? And I'll let you do this, because I'm going to do this as well, so it's only fair. What's your prediction if it rains? What's your prediction if it's, I guess, weather is on our side?
I'm not even going to fathom if it's not going to rain, because it's going to pour. And it's going to be, I'm going to go 6-20. I think UK scores 2 field goals. And I think that we miss a field goal with Charlie Strong stressing how bad our kicking is. Field goals.
And so you're just saying rain regardless?
Yeah, because it's going to rain.
It is going to rain. And I don't. It goes whenever it's raining. You still. It makes it even harder to predict what to expect from either team. I mean, Louisville's offense is the biggest question mark, because you hope that it's going to be better. You think you've got receivers on your side. You know that have improved. Teddy Bridgewater is going to be even better. But you know, if it rains, that takes all that away. So we're going to go straight to the Oxmoor Fordling and Buzzline. Let's go to my man Mike.
Mike Lindsay, how are you?
What's going on, man? How are you?
Doing good. Wanted to talk a little bit. Couple things. One, the rain, I think it's a different thing when you know it's going to rain versus it starts to rain on you. If you already know it's going to rain, you can dress for it, you can have fun with it. The only thing you got to worry about is it going to be dangerous out there, I think.
And I think the rain, so that is good, but my question to you, Mike, is how, let's say Charlie Strong, they've just accepted that it's going to rain. How do you prepare for it during practice? I mean, how do you simulate that?
Well, I guess you can make the football wet. I mean, you can't do anything about the feet, but the sports turf is going to be fine. It's going to take a lot of rain for the sports turf to be a major factor. But I think, you could probably just soak that football down and just soak their jerseys down and just have a lot of helmets on the football, helmets on the jerseys, and just see if you can get that ball to squeeze out and just kind of work on holding on to that ball.
Yeah, and I talked to you earlier, and you were on Twitter. And for those who don't know Mike Lindsay, just by Mike Lindsay, you probably know Crumbs Revenge. He does a lot of good video work for U of L fans and contributor over at cardsandcats.com. He's done some work for the Cardinal Connect as well. But what do you make of this whole Louisville hate day?
Well, I think they need to fire the marketing coordinator, considering a school that was kind of built on hate in the past is going to still continue their trend and have a hate week. So I think once Calipari came in, you know, Tubby Smith, everyone thought he was a gentleman. The rivalry was every bit as Kentucky versus U of L. It just wasn't nasty. And then Billy Gillespie, there was no opportunity to get nasty. The guy was a train wreck, so it's pretty much just both sides were laughing at him. And then the Calipari came in, and he's just intentionally trying to, throw his arrogance around, step on toes. It's just turning nasty. So Louisville Hate Week, I think, kind of fits into that. And I think that I don't think it's necessarily irresponsible, because it's driving a lot of traffic to a site and it's getting people involved. But I think it's kind of making it turn ugly. And, you know, I think the media can really kind of steer, as they do in other world events, they can steer a crowd one direction or the other, and I think they're kind of steering it in a nasty place.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. Real quick, your prediction. You got a score for me, Mike?
I do. I'm going to say if it's really messy out there, it's going to be 24-10. And if it's dry out there, I'm going to say 35-17.
I like it. Thank you for the call. Don't be a stranger. Is he gone? Okay. That's one thing I've learned. One of the most awkward parts of radio is when you end the conversation with a caller, because you don't know if they're going to be there, and you kind of just sit in there hanging, almost as awkward as whenever that lady pretty much, you know, chewed me out, and then I said, hey, how are you? About as awkward as that. So we're going to get to our break, come back for about a 10-minute segment. I'm hoping I can get about 10 minutes in there and talk a little bit more about this game and also get to some basketball topics real quickly as well. Make sure you stay tuned here inside the press box on 1450 The Sports Buzz.
You're listening to Inside the Press Box.
Oh, no thanks. I never touch the stuff. There's nothing in the air here to get everybody high. Besides, it gives you the munchies. God knows I don't need that. Yay!
Welcome back inside the press box here on 1450 The Sports Buzz, presented by livingforless.org. A quick reminder, we're going to be out at Bistro 42 tomorrow for the show. Come out and join us out in Prospect. Bistro 42 is going to have us there. We're going to do a show from 5 to 6:30, and then you've got the high school football coming up after that, so make sure you check us out. And also, on Sunday, we've got the shows, the live shows out of Papa John's Cardinal Stadium from 10 to noon. You can hear Tyler Bloyd and Rashawn Myers from 10 to noon. They're going to be breaking down the game, and then I will take over from noon to 1. And we made a switch to that because the first card march of the season is going to be at 1:15 at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. So make sure you come out, check out the show. You can meet me, and not that that would do anything for you, but I'll be out there. Then head on over to the card march right after that. So make sure you get on out there to Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. I know there's a lot of people that aren't going to the game, they don't have tickets to the game, but they're going to be going to tailgate. So come on out there. We'll be doing the show from noon to 1. But let's go back to the phone lines. Jeff, you're inside the press box.
What's up, Nick?
What's going on? How you doing, man?
Hi, man. Good, yeah. So I don't want you to get mad when I say this, okay? So I don't want you to be clicking off and whatever and hanging up the phone.
Hey, fortunately for you, I don't have the option to do that. So go for it, man. So,
I do, but, Jeff.
But Trevor, he knows I've been a long-time caller, and I used to bash for Tino and all that, and he knows I haven't done that for a long time because I respect what your basketball program did last year. So I love the basketball team.
I'll let you go, man. Let's hear it.
So my thing is, though, and especially this week, and I understand it's game week, but my thing is, as a UK fan, is what makes me have to respect University of Louisville football team? And what I mean by that is, your last game last year, you got beat by a mid-tier ACC team. And you didn't play very well. Your season last year wasn't that great, but you made a bowl better than what we did, and I understand that. But it seems like, you know, I'm hearing all these Louisville fans thinking that they're going to blow us away and put 30, 40 points on us when you guys didn't put too many 30, 40-point games together last year, period. So I'm asking you, as a UK fan, what makes me want to respect the football team when I respect Charlie Strong? I think he's a great guy. I think he's a class act. No doubt about it. He's a good coach. I'd love to have him as a UK football coach. But my thing is, what has U of L done in the past 4 or 5 years the past 2 or 3 years since Charlie's been there to make me respect that football team and think that they're going to come out on Sunday and completely just blow us out of water? Because I didn't see too many games last year where you guys completely manhandled teams.
Sure, and to answer your question, that's a great question. Probably one of the best calls I've had all week, Jeff. And my thing is, that's a good question. What should Kentucky fans look at and say, why should we expect this team to come blow us out? And I don't think you should expect to get blown out, but more of it has to do with how bad Kentucky is supposed to be. I mean, this is one of the worst offenses in the country last year that doesn't return much production from it. It's all going off of you're assuming that some of these young receivers are going to be better. You're assuming that, you know, I don't know what you're assuming with the running game, because it wasn't very good last year, and you don't really add anybody to the mix other than maybe a couple of true freshmen who you can never just assume that they're going to be that good. I mean, Kentucky's supposed to this. I think the spread is more that Kentucky's supposed to be that bad rather than Louisville's supposed to be that good. But one thing that if you are a Kentucky fan and you want to know what to look at, it's the progression in the last 2 years, and it's been done with a lot of youth. And I know you can go and say, well, they're playing the Big East. Big East sucks. Doesn't matter. And I wasn't trying to quote you there, Jeff, but I'm just saying that that's what you'll hear from a lot of Kentucky fans. But it doesn't matter who they're playing. It's that's true freshmen. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is sniffing Heisman talk. He's not going to win the Heisman. He's not going to get a vote. He won't. I will tell you that right now. But people have watched him play, and they have respect for what he's done. Charlie Strong has done it with all young guys, and this is the year where they've got some experience now. And they're talented. I mean, these are guys who, you know, I can't say that, I can't give you a percentage, and I can't tell you how many. There are some guys on this team that turned down offers from some big SEC schools that are now sophomores and juniors with years of experience under their belt. So I'm not saying that there's anything on Louisville's roster that you should say, oh, they're going to beat them by 30 points, but Louisville's a better team. They're just flat out better. And I don't like the comparison of last year's team to this year's team, just because I think it just doesn't really sit well with me, because it's a different game. And Kentucky, honestly, they lose a lot from what they had last year. They lose a lot. Their defense lost the leading tackler in the SEC. What makes you think that defense is going to be any better, especially when your secondary was gutted by, you know, academic issues and injuries?
And when national analysts are, you know, we're getting spotlight from them, and I mean, I know you can't live and die by preseason rankings, but I mean, we're a top 20. I mean, we're ranked 25th right now. Obviously, we're doing something right, and these people that get paid a lot of money to break down college football are recognizing that. Yeah, that's something to look for.
That's my thing, is that Kentucky fans need to realize, and it is Louisville fans are the only ones saying, and I shouldn't say every Louisville fan. If you hear somebody say Louisville's going to win by 30-something points, it's probably a Louisville fan. But this is national media. People in Vegas that get paid to do this that expect Louisville to win by two touchdowns. So let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Mayor. You're inside the press box.
Hey, boys. Hey, I think something today came to mind. I thought we should start like a Kentucky Compassion Day, where we feel, you know, how we feel sorry for him. You know, Jeff himself, I think, has said on the radio, if I'm not mistaken, that he's a big blue basketball fan, but he pulls more for Florida State when it comes to football.
Someone's told me that before as well.
Yeah, I think I heard that, and you know, to go to where the thing comes from, this whole hate day and the puke that's hosting that radio show. I mean, once again, feeling sorry, a big hotshot Duke law student comes out, and all I can do is be on the radio. No offense, with all due respect to you radio guys, but, you know, someone who's supposedly that good, it's kind of interesting. And, you know, 96% of these Kentucky fans have either, A, never been to a live Kentucky basketball, football, baseball, any kind of game, and number two, ever been to Lexington, so that's kind of interesting. And then when we talk about Louisville in this football game and what we expect, and I came on yesterday and said it would be a low-scoring offensive output by the Cards, if we do, in fact, blow them out, you know, why is all the doubt out there about Louisville? We went in their common filth, as my friend says, stadium, and beat that team. No one thought we'd win. I didn't think we'd win last year, and we went in and beat them. Kind of made them look silly on their own field there. And for the Kentucky fans that are out there running their mouths right now on this hate day stuff and talking about how well the upset's going to happen, I don't see how they can back that up. Your point about them losing a lot is exactly right. So let's see what happens. Bring on Sunday. I'm ready to go. I'll be at the game. We'll see you out there somewhere.
Yeah, and I'm going to make sure and catch up with my man, Mayor, a big loyal listener here, one of my good buddies. Appreciate the call, Mayor. And he brings up a good point that I don't understand, and that's the thing. We haven't had a justification. And Jeff, I will give Jeff credit. Jeff has never came on and called a shot and said Kentucky's going to win, but he said, you know, what are you going to tell me about Louisville? And he's called over the last few months, and he's kind of wanted Kentucky to get a little bit more respect, but he's never said Louisville sucks and anything like that. But if you're a Kentucky fan, Back up your assumption that Kentucky's going to pull the upset. I've never heard somebody say, well, this is what's going to happen. They're going to come in and this guy's going to run for 150 yards, and they're going to, you know, give me a reason why it's going to happen. But let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to my man Carolina Steve. You're inside the press box.
Okay, one thing that you gentlemen hadn't mentioned. You mentioned rain, but what is the wind supposed to be?
That's a good, very good point. My dad actually brought that up to me yesterday, that it's, you know, we've got 30 mile an hour winds. That could change everything more than rain, snow, whatever.
Yeah, it can. I come from close to the North Carolina coast, so I've ridden a few hurricanes.
I figured that might be why they call you Carolina Steve.
Yeah, I've ridden a few hurricanes out. And the thing is not going to be the rain. The polyturf or whatever kind of turf they have there looks good. But what you really got to watch out for is the wind. The wind will determine that game, not the rain. If it's 30 miles an hour, if I would go with the old Bear Bryant philosophy, I would pick the end I was going to defend with the wind behind me, and I would kick to start the ball game.
Well, I think that's a... It would be a gutsy call. I think Charlie Strong's always proven that he likes to do that as well. But Carolina Steve breaking down the weather for us. Watch out, Jay Cardosi.
A little side note for Jeff wondering, Louisville scored over 30 points 3 times last year, 7 times since Strong took over.
And one of those games that they did was obviously the game that everybody, Louisville fans, like to go off of, which is the West Virginia game. It's a West Virginia team that's preseason, you know, top 15 now, and put a smackdown on Clemson. In the bowl game, it was an ACC team. So I mean, you're never going to ever hear me argue that Louisville doesn't play in a weaker BCS conference than any other league. You'll never hear me do it. But there's a ranking that just came out right now that let me pull it up here in the link. But Kentucky is rated as the 9th worst BCS football team in America. So I think it goes back to Louisville's supposed to be pretty good this year, but Louisville's not ranked. Let's keep in mind, they're not a top 10 team where everybody's saying they're going to be awesome. But Kentucky is predicted to be pretty bad. And I'm looking at Kentucky at number 9 is the 9th worst BCS school in the country. And I look through the top 10, and I don't see a Big East team in there. So what they're telling you is that Kentucky, although they're in the SEC, pump your chest. It's like being poor and having rich neighbors, and I don't know what this site is, and I'm not even gonna try to run it off here, but they've ranked Danny Sheridan is the writer who is a known writer. He wrote and said that they're the 9th worst team in the BCS. There's not a Big East team in here that's ranked as in the top 10. So you know, although you play in the Big East or in the SEC, you'd still be one of the worst, huh?
I'm assuming Syracuse probably the lowest, maybe, or they're not considered a Big East anymore.
Temple, yeah. Obviously, Temple would be the worst. But if we got one more caller on the line, Trev?
That is correct.
All right, let's go to Dave. You're inside the press box on the Oxmoor Ford Lincoln Buzz Line.
Hey, guys. I'll try to get quite a bit in here real quick.
First of all, the weather,
they've already said it's going to be more of a rain event, not a wind event. It's not going to be like when Ike came through here a few years ago. It's going to be just torrential downpours. It's not going to be a big, long, steady wind, so I don't have to worry too much about wind. Who knows, though, with the weather? To answer Jeff's question earlier, I'm going to pull something that they like to pull during basketball season. Let's go position by position, and I'm not going to name every player, obviously, but name me one unit on the field that Kentucky has the advantage in. The only one I'll even give them a push is maybe the defensive line, and I'm not even buying that because I think we got a lot more depth there. We're better at quarterback. We're better at receiver. We're better at the offensive line. We're better at defensive backs. We have better linebackers. The only thing that's a question mark is the kickers, and their kicker's a question mark, too. So, there, that's why you should respect us and assume you're going to get your tails whipped Sunday, because you just don't match up.
Exactly.
And the thing that cracks me up about Kentucky fans, we don't set the spread. They think it's Louisville fans setting the spread. Vegas set the spread. Louisville didn't. They're not comparing us to USC. We're not saying we're USC. They're comparing us to Kentucky, and they're saying we're at least 2 touchdowns better. That's not Louisville fans. That's Vegas. So they think that it's all Louisville fans and nobody else is respecting us. And that's just a bunch of garbage.
Dave, you got a prediction real quick for me?
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty handy. I don't know that it's going to be a blowout just because our style of play doesn't really lend for that. I think Kentucky's going to fold like a cheap lawn chair as soon as it comes down to toughness in the rain in the second half. They might keep it within a touchdown or 10 points or so, but I think about halfway through the third quarter, we're going to just start running all over them and probably pull it out by, I'm going to say, 17 to 21 points.
Thank you for the call. They saved the best for last. My man Dave bringing the heat, was he not? Hey, I don't know if Dave's ever called the show here before, but that was a hell of a call. And we were almost out of time, and Never Nervous, you didn't even get much airtime today, man. We had the callers, and of course, I'm going to run with it as much as I can.
Oh, there's somebody in there with you? I didn't even recognize. I was wondering who that was.
Will you run on your prediction real quick one more time, just to reset.
6-20.
6-20, that's
and
your final?
Sloppy, low-scoring, ugly game.
I'm going to save mine for tomorrow. Save mine for tomorrow. We got to get out of here. We're up against it. Make sure you stay tuned for Larry Glover Live and come out to Bistro 42 tomorrow. We'll be out there in Prospect from 5 to 6:30. Thank you guys for listening. Check us out tomorrow here on Inside the Press Box on 1450 The Sports Buzz.